And good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on YV99.1 this morning. How are you tracking? It's the 26th of November. Well, that sounds to me like it's a month before Christmas. That's a bit scary. I know if you're like the rest of Victoria, you're enjoying the level of freedom we've had over the last couple of weeks after those, well, nearly 8 months of lockdown. Wow, that was pretty scary, wasn't it? We're all readjusting, aren't we, to very different times, and it's all very exciting and very different. We've got an amazing group of people who listen to our program every week, and if you're one of those, thanks for joining in again. If you're a first-time listener this morning, great to have your company too, and a big shout-out to John Goodwin, who's in southeast Queensland. I know you're listening this morning, John, because you were very interested in our special guests this morning. To Linda and to all the others who are regular followers, thanks for joining us this morning. We can't believe that we're out of lockdown. And so to celebrate that and the ARIA Awards last night, we're going to go on a bit of an adventure today, and we're going to take you north, quite a way north, out of Victoria, into New South Wales and up into Queensland. Wow, there you go. And did you miss the ARIA Awards last night? Well, they were pretty amazing, and I'm sure they're on Netflix or something or other, you'll be able to see those. And we've got a couple of songs from the ARIA Award winners later in the program. Watch this space. As you always know, we have amazing people on this program. And today is no exception because we have Kristen Canning all the way from Sydney zooming in. Are you there, Kristen?
I'm here. It's so nice to be here.
It's fantastic. And we're going to introduce you in a moment. And we have Brandon Barber. And I'm not actually sure where you're sitting right now, Brandon, but welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you so much.
Look, Kristen and Brandon are respectively the Partnerships Director and the CEO of Rainforest Rescue, which is an absolutely amazing organisation that, well, we're going to hear all about what they actually do in a moment, so I don't want to steal their thunder, but we're so delighted. They're part of an amazing team, and a big shout out to Cesar and Maureen and Mary Beth and Grant and Emily and Marty and all the amazing volunteers at Rainforest Rescue that might be listening today, and to all of you who are interested in the environment. And that's going to be our focus this morning. But let's see if we can find out a little bit about Kristen and Brandon first of all. I read their bios this morning, and I'm not going to repeat them on air because we won't get to cover anything else, because they're pretty amazing people. Let's start with you, Brandon. You've got a degree in environmental studies from UC Santa Cruz. That's for those of you who haven't lived in California like me. UC stands for University of California, Santa Cruz. And Brandon has worked for Greenpeace and just about every other environmental organisation over the years. Brandon, you have a very impressive CV. You joined Rainforest Rescue in 2018. Kristen, you beat Brandon to it by 5 years because you joined in 2013, and your bio is equally impressive. I have to just ask you to, perhaps we'll start with you, Kristen. Given your amazing commitment to the environment and to trees, I'm thinking that way back then, as a 3-year-old, you were probably planting seeds in your breakfast cereal or something. Tell us about your early interest as a child, as a young person, in the environment and in trees. Is that when it happened?
Yeah, I think you're right, Bruce. I grew up in America, actually, in the Boston region, and we lived right near a forest, and we were, you know, always encouraged to go out and explore. And it was a really important part of my upbringing as someone in America. And I guess from that, literally the seeds were sowed, in the sense that what a beautiful, beautiful way to grow up. And I want that not only, you know, for the rest of my life, but for now my children's lives. And it's a really integral part, I think, you know, for everyone to know to protect.
Fantastic. And Brandon, you were you one of these young boys at 5 years of age that was climbing trees and falling out of them or something like that?
Well, I think all boys at the age of 5 climb trees and fall out of them. And if they don't, there's another opportunity to start an NGO.
Well, you've done it. You've done a few of those over the years, I've seen.
You know, when I was at university, just as I was getting started as a freshman, I had enrolled as a psychology student, and I was going to be like my dad, and I was going to be a psychologist. And as I was falling asleep, you know, those sometimes as you're falling asleep, you have a flash of inspiration. It wakes you up. I literally sat up in bed and said out loud, "The planet. I've got to help the planet." And my roommate said, "Shut up." And the next day I changed my my focus to environmental studies. And, you know, my first job out of uni was with Greenpeace Marine Division working on the ships. And I felt like I'd just become a NASA astronaut. And, you know, it's been, that was the beginning.
Wow. And we're going to hear a whole lot more of the story in a moment. You're listening to Brandon Barber, who's the CEO, and Kristen Canning, who's the partnership director of Rainforest Rescue, an amazing not-for-profit organisation right here in Australia. We're going to hear their story in a moment. Let's very appropriately start off with our first song this morning. It's The Cure and A Forest, or we could perhaps put it around the other way and say perhaps A Forest could be The Cure. There you go. Down. And thanks for joining me for Community Conversations here on YVFM 99.1. Wow, it's the 26th of November. It's late night shopping in Healesville tonight. Wow, make sure you get down there between 6 and 8.30. And there's the Uniting Church Fete tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, and Saturday. Be a part of that. It's going to be COVID-friendly outdoors. And if you are planning a little further ahead, the weekend after next, get down to the Waratina Lavender Farm, the 5th and 6th of December for their open weekend. And hi, Anne-Marie. I know you'll have a great weekend planned for visitors there, which is fantastic. And for those of you who like to plan further ahead, we've got four more programs this year, and we're culminating on the 17th of December with a very special Christmas edition, a Christmas panel where we have four people, and we're going to ask them their secrets of having a successful Christmas. That includes Councillor Fiona McAllister, our new mayor. Congratulations, Fiona, if you're listening this morning. Wonderful to have, the council in such great hands for the coming year. My special guests this morning are Brandon Barber and Kristen Canning from Rainforest Rescue, and we want to hear all about Rainforest Rescue. We started way back in 1999 before Kristen or Brandon were there, and so one of you are going to have to give us a little bit of history. That's 21 years. Maybe we'll start with you, Kristen, because you've been there the longest. How did it start? And 21 years ago, what was the vision back there? And who started it? Can we ask you that?
Rainforest Rescue was started by a group of concerned people for the plight of the rainforest in Australia and globally. And from that, there's just been so much awareness and growth and protection for really the unprotected Daintree Rainforest, which is our focus at the moment. It's been just a wonderful journey, and there's just been so many achievements along the way. And I think we all feel, and I think Brandon will agree with me, that the chapter right now for Rainforest Rescue is one of the most exciting. We're entering a really great era of change.
And over those 21 years, Kristen, you've had obviously challenges. You've gone through a couple of amalgamations, haven't you?
Yes, I think with lots of not-for-profits, you do go through those challenges, and it only makes you stronger, as the cliche goes. And I think for us, as a small to medium not-for-profit organization, it's no surprise that it's hard to operate on a shoestring, and it's hard to operate as a not-for-profit without a truckload of funds. So really, when we do get those funds in, whether they be small or large, it makes our well-oiled machine keep trucking along. And we're in a position now where, we've rescued 36 properties across Australia and planted upwards of 320,000 trees to regenerate damaged rainforest. So,
Yes, I was reading some of your very impressive statistics on your website this morning, and Kristen, wow, I feel tired just looking at the number of trees that you've planted over the time. It's been an amazing journey, and for those of you who want to read about that journey or support Rainforest Rescue, go onto their website. There's some amazing pictures on there from some of the team, and it's www.rainforestrescue, that's all one word, www.rainforestrescue.org.au. And there's opportunities there. Once you hear the story, you might want to support the work that they are doing as well. Kristen, we've planted trees, you've purchased properties, you've entered into partnerships with other organisations to have greater impact. Tell us about the links with the Jabal Bina Aboriginal Corporation. Have I pronounced it correctly?
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, tell us what's going on there.
Oh, I'm glad you raised that. That's deeply, deeply important to all of us at Rainforest Rescue. And in fact, since Brandon's come on as CEO, one of the most positive and wonderful things he's done is just make that an absolute priority for Rainforest Rescue to work more closely with the traditional owners of the Daintree Rainforest. So we've done regeneration work in past with Jabal Bina, and also with the actual traditional owners of the land, the Gugu Yolongi. And we are continuing to, in this next new chapter, where we're going to see, you know, the Wet Tropics' largest native seed nursery. We do so in partnership with the Indigenous Australians of the land, and we are so excited.
Wow. At the heart of what you do, it's planting trees. Brandon, I love your quote. You've got it on your website. You've got it on a huge mural in Sydney, a mural done by Elliot Rutledge. With Converse, and the mural amidst the trees says, "Trees are the answer." I could be cheeky and say to you, as the CEO of Rainforest Rescue, what's the question?
What do we do?
Yes, what is the question? Why are trees the answer?
Well, if there was a question for trees are the answer, I do like what do we do as the question. But, you know, I think the greatest challenge of our time right now, facing not just humanity, but all life, is this climate crisis. And anything that we can do, we have to do to try to protect the world that we've been given. You know, we're stewards here. We're not consumers. And when I think about how I want to contribute, you know, I want to give it everything I can. And I know everyone at Rainforest Rescue feels that way. And given that we're an organization dedicated to rainforest protection, restoration, well, we need to plant more trees. Trees draw carbon down out of the atmosphere. Trees increase biodiversity by providing unique habitats, and they're beautiful, and they're easy, and everybody can do it. So if everybody would just plant some trees, we would be well ahead of the game.
Yes, and I love the way that our Aboriginal people see ourselves as custodians, Brandon, you know, rather than owners or, you know.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fantastic. Let's have another song, and wow, it's Pentangle, and Kristen and Brendan, it's entitled "The Trees They Do Grow High."
An hour I've watched him all
And if you've just joined us this morning, my very special guests via Zoom this morning are Brandon Barber and Kristen Canning from Rainforest Rescue, all the way from Sydney and Mullumbimby. And, well, they spend quite a bit of their time in Queensland. We're going to hear a bit more about that in a moment. But, Brandon, I'm just, for our listeners who may not be scientists, perhaps, why is rainforest in particular so vitally important? You've already made mention of the lungs of the world, that obviously trees help. But why rainforests, and why the Dane tree in particular?
So rainforests are incredibly complex ecosystems. They provide habitat for myriad thousands of species, from the microscopic to the big macro beasts that we love and sometimes fear, depending on what rainforest you're looking at. Although I wouldn't want to cross a cassowary in a bad mood. But, rainforests, they are the lungs of the planet. They provide such a significant amount of oxygen. They help generate rain through transpiration. They're really the heart pump of the global climate systems. And there are places in the world that are beautiful, farmable, arable lands that wouldn't exist as arable lands feeding so much of the world if it weren't for the rain that was generated by the rainforests. There are also extraordinary libraries of information. There are cures for illnesses that we know of and cures for illnesses that we can only speculate about. And I often think of the rainforest as this living library that we just need to learn to read. And it's our job to protect as much of it as possible from development that would see it turned into paper and palm oil and soy farms for animal feed. And, I think rainforests deserve our best, and they certainly give to us.
Fantastic, fantastic. And the work you're doing is really inspiring stuff. I know you've got partners like the Queensland Trust for Nature, and we've already mentioned our Aboriginal partnership that you have there, which is just fantastic. Tell our listeners about the nursery and about how it all happens. I know you're involved in purchasing land, setting land aside, obviously growing trees. I guess before you can plant and grow trees, you have to get the seeds from somewhere. How does that all happen?
Well, gosh, there's so many questions in there.
We've got to keep you on your toes.
First of all, I just want to just quickly say why the Dane tree. The Dane tree, it really deserves a place of pride in Australia. It's the oldest, the most ancient, the longest continually evolving rainforest on the planet, and has been found to be as old as 180 million years.
Wow.
Now, the Amazon rainforest, which is, of course, the largest, is only perhaps 80 million years old. And there are living plants and living creatures in the Dane tree that you won't find anywhere else. And there are plants you'll find in other parts of the world in the fossil record that are currently alive and still evolving in the Dane tree. So the Dane tree is phenomenal, and it's Australia's largest rainforest, and it's Australia's most biodiverse rainforest. But over to a couple other things. So yes, Rainforest Rescue does buy land and protect it, and we also do restoration work. We have a Dane tree nursery. We call it our Dane tree native seed nursery, that produces up to 12,000 trees per year. We tend to propagate 150 different species, although there are 300 species that we work with. The nursery has produced, this nursery in particular has produced, gosh, over 200,000 trees now, 220,000 trees. And we were talking about trees are the answer. What does that mean? Well, given that trees are the answer to the climate crisis at one level, and trees in the Dane tree provide habitat for endangered species, and they're beautiful, it seemed appropriate for Rainforest Rescue to do as much as we can to address these crises by growing more trees. And we had considered increasing the footprint of our current nursery, but we could only double the size before we started encroaching on forest that we had restored. So that wasn't going to work. And thankfully, to our partnerships with Queensland Trust for Nature. Big shout out to Steve and Adrian. You guys are the best. QTFN has deeper pockets than Rainforest Rescue. And they wanted to help us do what we do. And they are doing that by, in this instance, we were looking for a new nursery location. There was also a significant block of land that was in jeopardy of development, needed to be rescued, and also was a perfect location for both significant restoration as well as a nursery site. So we brought QTF in on that, and they said, well, okay, we'll cover the cost, and we'll give you guys an extra long-term lease, or we'll subdivide, or whatever it takes to give you a nursery location from which you can propagate as many trees as you can. And currently, we're engaged in a capital campaign to raise the funds to develop a nursery based on a template from local Firewheel Nursery here in New South Wales. Yo, Mark Dunphy, you amazing guy. And that nursery does 150,000 trees a year. So we're looking at going from 12,000 trees a year to 150,000 trees a year. And of course, we couldn't do that without knowing that we would have people to work with us in the nursery. And we couldn't do that without knowing that we would have a market for those trees. That is to say, restoration projects that could absorb that many trees needed. Now, in my experience up in the Daintree, people are always saying, hey, can we get some trees off you? We're out of trees. Hey, do you know where to get some trees? Well, knowing that QTFN with this property purchase is going to help with 200 plus acres of restoration work, knowing that we have another project on the boil that could do as many as 400 plus acres of current cattle grazing land that would be returned to rainforest in the upper Daintree. There's a lot of examples like that, by the way. It's terribly disappointing. And it's inspiring that we can make a difference with that. And then, of course, our partnership with Jabobina Aboriginal Corporation, the Kupi Lanji, who are the traditional owners of the Daintree area, are part of. They're very keen to work with us to provide rangers to work as horticulturalists in the nursery, to provide rangers as restoration support, and just get to it. And a big shout out to Koopa, CEO of Jabobina up there, amazing guy who's really just building enormous bridges and taking everything so far forward. He was brought on board to facilitate the SciPal transition of ownership away from the state government back to traditional owners for the national parks. So soon, Jabobina will actually be the owners of the national parks.
That is fantastic. It sounds, Brandon, that it's a real team effort. You've got lots of cogs and lots of moving parts here. And Kristen, I'm just wondering, this all only works if you've got some seeds to plant in the first place. Where do those seeds come from?
That's exactly right. Trees are the answer and seeds are the answers. Without the seeds, we can't have the trees. So what we do, we always make sure that we have what we call a good genetic diversity of the species up in the Daintree that we not only propagate and grow, but then we plant onto the damaged rainforest. What we don't want to do is have one species and, you know, create this kind of monoculture of species. We want to make sure that the rainforests that we replant are, you know, very much in line with the beautiful, natural, thriving rainforest that is there with all the different species. So in line with that, you know, we have beautiful volunteers that go out, collect seeds, our nursery manager, Marine, and a big shout out to DDC. We've got a partner up there, Daintree Discovery Center. Pete there actually collects seeds from the roof of DDC. A really organic way to collect seeds.
Fantastic. So lots of partners, lots going on. We're going to hear more about the amazing work of Rainforest Rescue in a moment. During the next song, you might want to go onto their website, have a look at www.rainforestrescue.org.au. You may be even inspired to support the work that they are doing. We have got Christmas coming up. I'm sure they could do a gift voucher, or you could just make a donation or something like that to support this amazing not-for-profit charity that is making a real difference. We're going to have Wang Chung, and here we go with Tall Trees.
Tall trees in a blue sky, stand together, don't ask why. Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
You're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations, our regular Thursday morning program, where we talk with amazing people, people who are making a difference in the world. And there's no one better to be talking to this morning than Brandon Barber and Kristen Canning from Rainforest Rescue as we explore some of the amazing work they have been doing in planting trees, thousands and thousands of trees. And Kristen, you do have one particular day where you plant a lot more trees than the other days. What day is that? Tell us about that.
It's normally, Bruce, in May of every year. We find that the weather is most conducive in terms of getting all those little seedlings in the ground and seeing them grow nice and strong. This next tree planting day has just been locked in. It's May 1st, 2021. It's a Saturday and it's a beautiful day. We're aiming to get, you know, upwards of 2,000 seedlings in the ground with the help of the local community and the national community and the traditional owners of the Dane Tree itself come along. We would love for people to come up and help us plant trees.
There you go. There's a great invitation from Kristen. And if you can't wait that long, then make a donation. Get a gift card for Christmas. There's something a little bit different that your kids, your family would really appreciate, and they can be a part of making a huge difference to the rainforests here in Australia. This is all in Australia, all these projects, aren't they, Kristen? They're all happening here. You do a little bit in Tasmania. Most of the work is in Queensland. Let's talk about, let's go to the CEO, Brandon. What are the toughest bits of all of this? What are the things that go wrong? What are the challenges? What are the things that, yes, you know, keep you awake at night sometimes?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. And Bruce, you've been CEO of multiple organizations, so you know that there are plenty of things to keep you up at night. You know, sometimes it's as simple as knowing that you have people that are depending upon you as staff, right? You know, it's looking out for your people, because without them, you can't actually be successful as an organization. And we have a really great culture. We have a really great team. It feels really good to be a part of this team working together. When it comes down to the real, like, nail-biting stuff, you know, sometimes it's just the day-to-day stuff that you get to do as a CEO. That's why they pay you the big bucks. But really, it's about making sure that we're going to be able to have enough money to do what we're planning to do. You know, it comes down to are we doing a good job of communicating with our supporters and our audience so that they know that they're important beyond their financial support, but that without their financial support, we can't do the work. And it's, you know, if I could, I would talk to every single supporter personally. I want to know about them. I want them to be able to ask us questions. And, you know, it's a joy. And I try to call one supporter every day just to call and say thank you and to hear, you know, how are we doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it comes down to being able to do what we need to do.
Yes. And to you, Kristen, what is it that keeps you going? As Brandon said, it's not always easy. What is it that motivates you and the Rainforest Rescue team and people who support you? What is the motivation? Is it the same as the, you know, planting trees for the benefit of the world? Is that the motivation that people have? What keeps the team going?
Oh, such a good question. Oh, I think in, you know, my career, I've never been with a non-for-profit for as long as Rainforest Rescue. I just hand on heart believe every dollar that comes in is going straight to the work that we're doing. And, you know, as a small organization, we are kicking some serious goals, particularly up in the Dane Tree. And I think for me, it sounds funny, but partnering with business and, you know, conservation agencies, but in particular, seeing that business is such a powerful proponent for change. You know, we've got so many lovely Vision Match organizations and, you know, our platinum partner, Biopack, a compostable coffee company, and we've just had another platinum partner come on to help us really grow this native nursery, which is going to make it happen really strongly. And I think for me, it's seeing the businesses and the impact that they can make and changing the world with that impact.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know you were, because I heard a little whisper, that you were successful with a grant recently. Tell us, you've got another big project coming up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, gosh, that was a great day at Rape Boys Rescue. We were all popping the champagne corks all across the Eastern Seaboard. It was a very big grant. In fact, you know, the biggest grant that we've received for the nursery to date. And it is going to power up this new native nursery in the Daintree really strongly. So Brandon spoke about the fact that our current nursery propagates around 12,000 seedlings a year. Well, after the year one, which is next year, 2021, we're hoping to propagate 75,000 seedlings.
Wow, wow, wow.
And then after that, you know, 150,000. The Daintree needs desperately regeneration work. We need to provide the wet tropics with the largest tree factory, and we're going to do it with this financial support.
And that's in Mullumbimby, is that right?
The nursery is actually going to be up in the Daintree, and it's a lovely spot for it. It's right after you get across the Daintree River, so it's going to be accessible, you know, to all community.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we want to make sure that, you know, as people come into the Daintree, they have a sense of, you know, who it belongs to. Like, we're planning to have a place with Jabobina and, you know, that introduction opportunity, as well as the opportunity to understand the rainforest, its mechanisms, the ecology, and to see how you do restoration work and why it's important. And it's right there as you come in. It's like the gateway to the Daintree. It's very, very exciting.
And I know you've got at least one of your team that actually provides tours and shows people around. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the amazing Emily Silverstone. Yo, Emily! yeah, she's fantastic. She's part-time rainforest rescuer, full-time rainforest rescuer, but part-time tour guide. She's terrific. Go up there and take a tour with Emily.
There you go. Terrific. And you can, if you've just joined the conversation this morning, you can explore, you can find out more about the amazing work being done by Rainforest Rescue simply by going to their website, rainforestrescue.org.au. You can support the work that they are doing. You can buy a gift card for a family member or a friend or something like that and be a part of this mission, which is to change the whole landscape, pun intended, here in Australia. And we're going to have another song. Well, just for a total change of pace, forgive me, Kristen and Brandon, on this one. It's John Williamson, and it's not quite Rainforest, but it's Home Among the Gum Trees.
I've been around the world a couple of times or maybe more. I've seen the sights, I've had the lights on every foreign shore. But when my mates all ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. What do we tell them? Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuak, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. You can see me in the kitchen, cooking up a roast, or Vegemite on toast, just you and me, a cup of tea. Later on, we'll settle down and mull up on the porch and watch the possums play. Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuak, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. There's a Safeway's up the corner and a Woolies down the street, and a brand new place they've opened up with a regulate the heat. But I trade them all tomorrow for a single bush retreat with a Kookaburra school. Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees, a sheep, a tuak, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. Some people like their houses with benches all around, others live in mansions and some beneath the ground. For me, I like the bush, you know, with rabbits running round, and a pumpkin vine out the back. Is your turn. Give me a home. A sheep, a duck, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair.
Thanks for being a part of our conversation this morning, my very special guests, Kristen and Brandon. We've been talking rainforest rescue, and I might just put to you as we wind up for this morning, Brandon, how can people get involved and or support the work that you're doing?
We put a lot of energy and effort into our website, so thank you for giving folks the address. If you would, please come check out rainforestrescue.org.au. Sign up for our newsletter so we can let you know the good news that's happening, the things that are going on, and how you can join. And we also have a great Instagram feed and a great Facebook presence. So follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook and just be a part of it. Be a part of Rainforest Rescue.
There you go. And you can do that without even leaving Victoria, even though most of us would like to leave at the moment, I think. But wow, what a story. We have only been able to cover part of it this morning. Kristen, Brandon, keep up the great work you're doing. To you and all your team, we haven't even spoken about your board of directors. You've got a very impressive board sitting behind the work that you are doing. Wow. And what you're doing is just, yeah, so commendable. Buy a gift card if you're a listener this morning for Christmas this year. Do something a little bit different. Help the environment, help the planet, as Brandon was saying when he woke up one morning and decided that's what he was going to spend the rest of his life doing. So there you go. If you have missed the program or part of it this morning, it will be podcast and on our website next week. So you can have a listen then, or you can share it, spread the word around the place. So it falls to me then just to say, don't forget, Late Night Shopping in Healesville tonight, the Uniting Church Fete tomorrow, the Waratina Lavender Farm Open Day on the 5th and 6th of December, and four more amazing programs for this year. That's me, Bruce Argyle, over and out for another week. Look forward to your company next week.